Okay, another hour to go of open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Wide open for you. So we'll get to all your calls when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, one of the few who didn't get raptured, who didn't get taken. Or maybe I should say one of the many who did not. Let's go to our first-time caller, Tom, who apparently is calling from way, way out there. Tom, where are you?
Oh, we've got a good connection considering how far away I am. Actually, I got raptured, George. I'm up in heaven.
You made it? You made it.
I was one of the lucky ones. Sorry, dude. You know?
Well, I'm down here, but well, such is
life.
Yeah,
you wouldn't really know it because there was only 43 of us in my group this time. And
that's
we're the only ones who made it.
On the entire planet, only 43 of you went?
Yeah, this time. You know, apparently, you know that crazy guy always keeps saying there's going to be a rapture this month, and then 3 months later, there's going to be a rapture that month. Well, apparently there really is, but they just take a few people every so often.
Well, they budget, I guess, huh?
I guess. They don't want to do it all at once. The whole world would fall apart. So apparently, this was my time. I'm up here with the big guy.
What's it like up there?
Oh, it's very nice. It's kind of like, I'd say Madison, Wisconsin, kind of. It's sort of like that.
Kind of peaceful.
I've got a nice ranch house that they gave me. And when we were coming up for our orientation, I was standing in line waiting for my robe and my wings and everything. And, oh, I just want to tell you this. In my group, there was a Bigfoot. So I could definitely say that there are big feet because there was one in my group.
Super.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, you're going to be there for a long, long time, I guess, Tom, aren't you?
Oh, the longest, yeah.
In as much as you have wings, sounds like you're going to be an angel or what?
I guess so. I haven't really gotten used to the routine yet. So far, I'm still getting oriented. I know I do have a big screen TV, but you know what's really a drag, though, is that they only have basic cable up here. No premium channels.
Sounds like my place.
No HBO, no nothing.
That doesn't sound like heaven. Sounds like you're in the other place.
I know. Who would have guessed, you know?
I bet they're all family programs.
Yeah, it's all very, very nice stuff. And, yeah, that's probably why. They use that bad language on HBO and stuff. So
yeah,
God
so
doesn't like that. God is pretty much of a big joker. He made a bet, I guess, with the devil on the World Series, and
who
he's
did
a
he
big
bet?
Texas fan, so he raptured Albert Pujols.
he must have done that yesterday while he was still playing.
maybe so.
All right, Tom. Well, from time to time, check in with us, and I'd like to know what's going on up there in heaven. Let's go to our next line. Welcome to Coast on the International.
How dare you,
J.C.?
J.C. Webster, God's 10-star general in the war against media pornography.
You didn't get taken. You didn't get taken.
Because today was not the rapture. Tom Danheiser, you're not going to heaven. So Tom, he just called in saying he was going to heaven. He's not in heaven. Today is not the rapture. Harold Cramping does not have inside information any longer from God, and I have cut him out of the loop. Okay, so he is a liar. He is trying to perpetrate and fornicate a lie against America to trick people into thinking that the rapture didn't happen.
Well, it didn't happen.
Because it's not happening today because Harold Cramping is a liar.
Camping.
Listen, don't correct me. Don't you dare presume. How dare you get on your high horse and correct my grammatical phrasing.
I'm just trying to help you out, JC.
Listen, I have had it. I have tried all these years to be nice to you, to Art Bell, to the listeners, to everybody. Well, I'll tell you what, from now on, no.
What do you mean, nice to me?
This guy, it ends here. I tell you what.
You have accused me of running the St. Louis Syndicate. Is that nice?
Are the criminal crime lord who puts horses in people's bed. Now, are you going to let me tell you what's going on with our country? We have these communists in the streets infiltrating and taking over our streets. We fall back and do nothing. They get into our schools. They're putting condoms on bananas and showing clowns and having clown marriages and all these other kinds of things, and we fall back and we do nothing. Well, I'm telling you what, we have women running for the presidency. We fall back, we do nothing. I'm telling you what, I'm here to tell you, I'm drawing the line. It stops here. The line is drawn. No further. We will not have America destroyed by these people.
We may need to calm down, JC. Take a breath. Take a breath. JC.
To join in the new revelation.
We might need a woman president nowadays. Who knows? Oh, he's going to stroke out one day. Let's go to Corey in St. Louis, my neck of the woods. Hi, Corey.
Man, that's a hard act to follow right there.
Man, that guy is one of a kind, isn't he? Woo!
Well, I did get raptured today. I guess I was pure enough, but I have touched quite a bit in traffic, Madison, Wisconsin, too. But
indeed.
Anyway, I was going to tell you a story that my wife ordered me to tell you about. So
all right.
You blame
she
her.
Ordered you to. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So I'm going zigzagging. Yeah, I'm a truck driver, by the way. Zigzagging up two lane roads through Iowa, and it kind of starts to get creepy because I start noticing all these little towns I'm going through. It starts to feel like the movie Stand or something like that. It's like it's 3 a.m, but, you know, there's nothing. I don't see dogs. I don't see, you don't see nothing. Not a passing car. All the lights are green. Just, it sounds good, but it kind of gets creepy after you go through about 3 or 4 towns.
Yeah, you're just wondering, where'd everybody go? Where'd everything go?
Anyway, so eventually I'm about an hour past my restroom break, so there's nowhere to go. I mean, just little two-lane roads, no shoulder, nothing like that. So I end up just stopping in the road and just kind of kill the engine and leave all the lights off. It's clear enough. I could take off if somebody was coming. Anyway, I step out of the truck, and I'm walking around the truck for a second, stretching. And where a truck and trailer, on a big truck where it connects, you've got that opening right between.
That's right.
So I'm kind of standing there, and I'm looking, facing that direction, and I hear a twig or, whatever, branch crack, something like you hear out of scary movies, I guess, looking back at it now. Kind of passed it over, and I thought it was just something popping on the truck. And suddenly, somebody, footsteps. Pop, 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 pop. Somebody's come running down the side of my trailer. I'm nowhere. There's nothing. I mean, there's nothing but fields. There's no houses. There's no community.
And you're hearing footsteps on your trailer.
Whoever it was or whatever it was on the other side of the trailer. And I don't know how I got the truck crank that got rolling, but I was doing about 30 miles an hour forever, got my passenger, my driver's door shut. I don't know what it was or who it was.
But something.
There was definitely something there. But it was enough to make me almost scream like a 12-year-old girl.
Well, that would be kind of eerie to me, too. Let's go next to Button Willow, California. It's Richard's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
A long-time listener. My sister and I and my dad listened to you since I was a little kid.
Thank you to your family.
Well, actually, my dad passed away about 1.5 years ago, but I was calling to rebuttal against the Viking spacecraft photos of faces. And I actually have boxes of all of the Viking spacecraft photos because my dad used to be a technician for NASA back then.
Okay. Hey, great.
Yeah,
what do you have in that box?
Well, there's lots of ground photos of just lots of really high definition images, just black and white photos that are really neat. And I don't ever see anything that had to do with extra faces or weird stuff that was hidden. I was just kind of calling to just say I have a bunch of those photos and I've never seen anything like that. So.
All right. Yeah, he sounded a little hot under the collar, didn't he?
Yeah, there is actually kind of one funny story about that though. When my dad was there, they superimposed a Budweiser can in one of them, and it got the scientists going pretty wild. Well, other than that, no faces, so just wanted
all right.
to call.
Well, the folks from Anheuser-Busch should have jumped on that one. It would have been a great marketing technique. Brandon in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Okay.
You're probably getting sick of hearing from me.
No. When's the last time you called, by the way?
Well, I called last week, and I called the week before.
Why aren't they catching that? You're only allowed once a month.
Really?
Yeah, but go ahead. You got through.
Okay. Well, I wanted to call about the rapture. which I study the Bible a lot, and like
you're still here. You didn't get taken, yeah. Brandon.
No, I didn't. But that's a good thing though, because if you really read the Bible and listen to what Jesus says about, well, the rapture, which the rapture actually never really appears in the Bible. You never see the word rapture anywhere in the Bible. But anyway, Jesus says that in those days when he returns, it'll be like in the days of Noah. And if you remember what the days of Noah were like,
we're talking about floods. Yeah, floods and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, when the floods came, it was the evil people who were taken. And it was Noah's family, you know, the righteous people that were left behind.
Not many of them. And the evil ones all drowned, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus says, that in the last days, there won't be that many people that are on that righteous path.
No, some people had thought, Brandon, that billions would go. Nah, not at all. But no rapture. Didn't happen. We got to find out where Harold Camping is and find out. Poor guy, he's 90 years old, and he had a stroke between May and October, a few months after that, May 21st date, as a matter of fact. Cincinnati, Ohio, great town. Charlie, it's your turn.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Charlie.
Long-time listener. I want to tell you what an honor it is to speak with you, sir. I'm a truck driver. You have entertained me many, many nights.
Perfect.
I definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
We are doing our job then, aren't we?
Yes, sir. What I want to relate to you is an experience I had. I was very close with my father. Many years after I had my stuff together and could have moved out, I continued to live with my father. We were very close. When my father passed away, I never grieved for him properly, and I had an experience where I went to bed one evening, and I got a phone call. It was one of the guys that worked for me that was calling me to tell me he was not going to be in the normal place that I went to pick him up. I got up. I didn't quite make it to the phone in time. The answering machine got it, and I spoke with him briefly, you know, and went on back to bed. And about 90 minutes later, I heard my father come over the answering machine. He said, "Charlie, it's Dad. How you doing?" I'm a musician. I play in a band as well. He said, "I'm going to try to make it to your show Friday." As it turned out, I was playing that Friday, and my father was not real emotional, and he said, "You know, hope you're doing well. I'm going to try to make it out Friday. I love you. Goodbye." And I sat up in bed and just cried like a baby. It woke me up out of a sound sleep. And I mean, it took me a while to figure out what had actually happened. As it turned out, what had actually happened was the answering machine had like a 90-minute tape on it, and I had erased all the messages on it, but apparently the very last one, it was
which was his.
Come in from my father from a long period before that. It ran all the way to that 90-minute end of the tape. When it got to the end of the tape, the message played, but it was just so bizarre because everything he was saying was pertinent. When I heard his voice, I hadn't heard his voice obviously since he had passed. And even though there was a logical explanation for it, I still think it was my father telling me that it was okay and he loved me. And
no question about it. I mean, what are the odds, Charlie, of that just being a fluke? I don't think so. These things happen for a reason. They do. I mean, the fact that his voice would be at the end of the tape, unerased, to me, it was a message from him.
I would like to believe so. I mean, it was something that I mean, when I first sat up in bed, when I first heard his voice, I got to tell you, I thought I was losing my mind. I really did.
Oh, well, yeah, I know a lot of people go through that. I mean, and it's difficult to comprehend. And these things happen in very strange ways. And even though you think that there's a practical explanation, I still think there's a very supernatural cause behind that.
I'm with you. I believe things happen for a reason. You know what I mean? Even things that are, I'll be honest with you. I'm a believer in logic. I do believe that, you know, I mean, I sat and scratched my head and I went, okay, how did this happen? There's got to be something. And I went back through everything, traced down the, you know, the series of events. And like I said, eventually figured out that it was just the one message at the very end of the 90-minute tape. But it was, you know, the days lined up. Like I say, the fact that he was talking about, you know, hey, I'll try to make it to your show Friday. I was
and
playing that
playing.
Friday.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Cool.
I mean, I didn't play every weekend. It just, so many things just kind of fell into place that you know, and it relieved something in me. I mean, it was the release, you know what I mean? My wife kind of put her arms around me and sat and held me. And I mean, I'm a grown man and I sat and cried like a baby. You know?
And I bet it was one of the greatest cries you've ever had.
Absolutely. That's the truth. You know what I mean? But it was, I guess, the release that I needed. It was the something that I'd been holding on to that I needed to let go. I appreciate it. I've been wanting to tell you about this for a long time. I listen to your show constantly. Every time you have something along these lines, I've always thought that maybe I should tell you. You know what I mean? And it was just so funny because I was coming home from a show again this evening. I heard, you know, that you had the open lines, and I thought, well, what the heck? I'll give it a try. And it was like the second ring went straight through. I couldn't believe it.
That's great. And by the way, I ran into Pete Rose several months ago in Los Angeles. Still a great talent. You know what?
You know what? Pete is an amazing person. I really think he got a raw deal on that. I don't think that, not that he was blameless. I think he made some mistakes. But I don't think the fact that the mistakes that he made as a manager should keep him out of the Hall of Fame as a player, because he was absolutely one of the greatest of all time.
Yep, there's no question. Charlie, thanks for the story, and you have yourself a good weekend.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time. And again, with the truck driving community loves you dearly. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I love you guys and gals that are out there keeping America moving. And, you know, we're going through these incredible times, and, you know, I am just so glad that we've got this ability here at Coast to Coast, this growing program, to just keep you informed and entertained and mystified and baffled with the kinds of guests and programs and hosts that we have on the show. And it's an incredible team. I'm very proud of everybody who's associated with it. And, you know, this network allows us to do what we need to do for you, and it's growing. Folks, we're at 559 radio stations now. That is the second largest affiliated show in the country. It is unbelievable. There's only one program that has more affiliates, and that's Rush's show. And, you know, and we're on at night, too, you know, so that's remarkable. And we keep adding, thanks to you. I'll be back, and I'm glad you didn't get raptured, because I need all my listeners. We'll be back in a moment with final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we're going to come right back. We're going to have our final segment of Open Lines for you. UFO Phil in the wings waiting as well. So get ready on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I hope you have a great weekend. Let's try to get in here as many calls as we can. Let's go out to New Orleans. Nemo's with us. Good morning, Nemo.
Morning, George. It's a pleasure and honor to talk to you. I'm a huge, huge fan. We try to listen to you almost every time we get a chance to you.
Thank you.
I believe in your time, you call them time travelers, which is also somewhat of a popular name where I come from. I just wanted to make one statement real quick.
Sure.
where we come from, just everyone's at peace. Like I was telling the gentleman that I talked to before, I got the honor and chance to talk to you. I'm going to be here for 2 months, and I've got a couple of friends with me. We're just traveling the States and stuff like that. And from what I see, just literally what we read in textbooks when we were in high school, which we still have, but literally all the wars and all the hate and everything, I just wanted to tell your listeners something that I know I can't get in trouble with. Basically, all of humankind, everyone's a brother, everyone's a sister, and in the future, just everyone helps each other. There's literally no more wars. Just everyone's at peace, in a certain way, the way I can explain it, no boundaries. Just everyone is happy, and everyone works together for everyone's benefit.
That's great. I wonder, Nemo, did anything happen along the way for us to get to that point?
Yes, it did. It actually, I can't really go into it. It's kind of like nowadays where I believe when you travel, you need visas and passports. We need the same thing to come back. We mostly do it as tourism, and we're only allowed to go to periods when nothing really important will happen to the point where we can't damage anything that's going to cause a problem in the future.
I see.
For example, right now in this century, it's really, really easy to come and visit. Just nothing really, really big is going to happen. I can't go into detail. But
what time? What time period, Nemo, are you from? Can you tell us that?
I can tell you. Yes, sir. It's 24th century.
Okay.
I can't give you an exact date or anything like that. I literally just got into our hotel. We're going to watch a football game tomorrow. Like I said,
your time travel is like football, huh?
Yeah, it's we still have it around. It's somewhat different rules, but just people do this when we come back. When we just basically a lot of tourists, we try to travel and take in as much as possible. And one thing, and they've always told us this, that in the time now, you can see a lot of hate in people,
like, yes. It's
just racism, which thankfully we don't experience. And you see all of that, and it's so sad. But what's amazing is that at one point in our history, we will change, and humans, thankfully, do evolve. And you know, with that evolution, we actually everybody just gets along. Religion does exist. I did want to point that out. But the gentleman that just called about his father and stuff, religion does exist. And the beauty about it is that everybody respects each other's religion. There's no right, no wrong. You know, it gets to the point that everyone trusts in everyone. And unfortunately, something big does happen for us to get to that point.
That's what I thought, Nemo.
Yeah, and that's not really my real name. That's just a nickname that I would have to give you.
Can I ask you one question about that? Is it something that man created, this whatever catastrophe it was, or is it something that, you know, was basically out of, you know, the solar system that came to us?
That's actually something that I just asked a friend whether I can, if you would ask me whether I can answer you, and he's pretty positive, just like myself, that I can. It's actually us humans that
caused
the problem for us to get to where we're at.
I figured that.
I can go into one little detail, not too much. It has to do with the weather. And
okay, I see what you mean.
It does have to do with the weather, and just basically all of that changes. And with time, we learn that we can't exist without each other's help. And that's where we get to the point. There's still work. You know, you still go to school. You still go to college. People still have jobs.
You still eat. You're human, right?
Yeah, right. Everything's still, you know, when we get a chance to, sometimes we hear some of the, like, rebroadcasts and stuff like that, and we hear from other travelers that they talk about aliens invading and stuff like that, and it's nothing too complicated. It's nothing, nowhere near that, you know?
Well, enjoy New Orleans, and is your time machine something that you sit in, or is it something else?
Best way I can describe it, and again, it's something that I can't really go into detail, it's there's no machine. It's doors.
Like portals.
Yes, sir. Exactly. It's basically portals. We have times that they open and when they close. There's actually people that work here. For example, I can tell you this, like the cash, for example, that we use to buy stuff. The cash in our time is somewhat different, a whole lot different. Most of people use what you would have as credit cards. Everyone has, I guess you can say a number.
Oh, no. It's not three sixes, is it?
No, nothing like that. No, sir. It's like I'm saying, more like a credit card, but you actually have the money at hand,
Is it a chip? Have you been implanted with a chip?
No, nothing like that. No, sir. It's a card, just like a credit card. And cash is not really used. And again, that has to do with, with protecting the planet. You see, it's easier just to have a card and have such
One last question, Nemo, if you can answer this. At what point does mankind find this time apparatus, this ability to go through a porthole? I mean, here we are, you're back here in 2011. What year do you think this happened?
We actually know. We know the dates. It's kind of like what you would know when man landed on the moon. We all know when Christopher Columbus landed in America. It's just something like that you study. And what I can tell you is that it doesn't involve a CERN. I believe that's what you call
that's
it.
That's right.
It does involve a CERN.
That's what I would think.
It does involve, I think you call them, we still call them that, but we call them by different names. It's just black holes. They're not, that's what I can explain it. They're not something that, you go inside and you never come out or everything gets destroyed. They're portals. And I can explain this to you very simply. For example, the Big Bang. Is which we still call that, is actually the beginning of one of the black holes. Black hole
I can see that.
It's just feeding.
Who won the World Series, didn't you?
Sir?
We've got a World Series going on right now. You know who won already.
Right. Well, I don't know that. I mean, I won't. I really wouldn't be able to tell you.
You won't tell me. Okay, Nemo, I gotta run. You enjoy New Orleans? I got our time traveler there. He's got to move on. Let's go to James in Bend, Oregon. Hey, James, go ahead.
Hey, the litmus test for the future, the time travelers, how every period's got its little catchphrase, back in the 20s, the cat's meow, or maybe in the 70s, where's the beef? Well, you should have asked him, what's the catchphrase? What do you guys say?
Back in the 1800s, it was hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity, there you go. Hey, the one thing that I wanted to stress, it's kind of funny because I really appreciated that fellow's message about the peace and love and let's all
me
come
too.
Together. I thought that was right on. Because it seems to me that there's this predominant sense of fear. And who was it? Roosevelt. There's nothing to fear
but fear itself. That's right.
And for as long as I've been alive, from 50-some years, repent the end is near has been another one of those catchphrases. And it seems to me that the media in general tends to promote that kind of, it's the end, it's over. Man, the planet's been here 4.5 billion years or 4 billion years plus. It's not going anywhere. Mankind's been around for 10,000 years, 20,000 years, maybe more. I think that we should just take a breath, relax.
But there could be, James, one day there could be a planet-threatening episode. I don't know what it could be, an asteroid, world wars. But,
well, certainly those events.
They could happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was it, 260 million years ago, the meteorite killed all the dinosaurs. Certainly things like that.
Yeah.
But again, those are, if you're in Vegas, you wouldn't bet on it.
One
of those long shots.
It is a long shot. And you wouldn't be around to collect it either. Hey, Tom's got a text message for us back in the L.A. studios. Tom, what do you got for us?
George, this is from Carrie in San Francisco. End of the world baloney. George, why do these so-called Christians do this to us? I feel sorry for the people that believe Harold Camping.
Well, that's a good question. And I wouldn't say so-called Christians. These are people who are true followers and believers. And Harold Camping was able to tap into them. They want to believe, and they do believe. Tommy, as you well know, we had guests on around that May 21st period who were so convinced that it was that was it. That was the day. And then the next day, they had to come up with an excuse.
But he's got to believe it too, right?
Well, I don't know if he is, how should I say, using this for his own purpose or if he truly believes it. I think he's a nice guy.
These guys have a lot of power, and they, you know, people will believe them. So if he is doesn't really believe that, that is so wrong.
Of course it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. You know, somebody asked him, well, have you emptied out your bank account? And he said no.
Yeah. What does that tell you?
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's go to first-time caller Bing in Wilcox, Arizona. Hey, Bing.
Oh, pleasure to come aboard, sir.
Good. Glad you're here.
I talked with one of your staff, and he said to tell you about the UFO encounter that I had at China Lake.
What happened?
Are you familiar with China Lake?
Oh, I sure am. Right? It's right up that way.
Okay. That was my dad's last command, and this was like November of 62, and his aide was in the car, and we were going to go rendezvous in Death Valley because they have a big art show there in the wintertime, and the Rambler American station wagon just conked out, and we both looked up. My mom was driving, and there was three triangle-shaped vehicles. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon in the Panama Valley, and we looked, and he's sitting there looking at me, and he said, yes sir, I do. You know, he was lieutenant,
yeah,
and you know, ops aide, and one was facing east, the other two were kind of facing to the west, and so we went, and you know, the two of us, you know, went and diddled under the hood like we're doing something. And we're just sitting up here looking at it. Just, damn, I wish I had a camera. And
I wish you did, too. That would have been great.
Oh, it would. And the lieutenant. And, of course, there was no reference points. The Sierra Nevadas were to our west. And so he went to get a camera. And they just,
gone.
You know, disappeared in a heartbeat. And like 3:30, clear blue day. November, and so it was quite a phenomenal thing, and
they're out there.
Oh yes, I mean, I concur. Until you see one, you don't really believe it. And I was trying to get through, can I put a brief tale on it occurred this year, and it pertains to the Big Birds?
Yeah, I've got about 40 seconds for you, sure.
Okay, this 12, 14-foot wingspan, it had a white collar feathers, 5.5 feet high. I was 15 feet away from it when I came upon it, and it was eating the carcass. I watched it fly away into the mountains here where I live.
Did it look prehistoric at all, Bing?
Yes, sir, it did. It had no comb. It had hair kind of slicked back, kind of like Groucho Marx. Head the size of an NFL football, gold eyes, the size of silver dollar, black pupils were the size of Mercury Head Dime.
Yeah, you definitely saw something there. You really did. Okay, sit back. There's been an incredible night of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And thanks again to Linda Godfrey. Here's UFO Phil.
Never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over. I'm can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Will Wilkerson, Lex Lonehood, Lisa Lyon, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.